Oh, it's just great to be here today. I was a little, I knew we had several that were going to be out of town today. So I thought, ooh, I wonder what our crowd's going to be like. And it's nice and full. For you at home, it's nice and full. We got about 13 people online as well. So add that to the number. Make sure somebody tell Koyla, 13 people. She does the attendance record. So I'll never remember to tell her. So, but it is great. Thank you, Al. I had to turn the air conditioning on because we were so worked up with all our singing. It was really good today. And Mackenzie, great to see you today. Dylan, good to see you too. But Mackenzie, great to see you. When I try it out, whatever that interview thing is for preachers, I don't never know what it's called. But you, it was three old guys and Mackenzie serving on the table. And I don't know. It just feels good to see that again. So glad that you are here today. And just man, tremendous stuff. I'd like to take about 5 minutes here to say we've been here now 6 months, and I know it's hard to believe it just flies by. And I'd like to tell you some good things that I think are happening right now, and directions that I think we're going in, and then kind of bring that together 5 minutes to say what are some things that we can continue to work on together. One of the things that's happening is individuals are coming up with some great ideas. And what I'm trying to do first in my ministry is just to say, let me be a resource, a helper in that, whether that's a technology resource person or whatever I need to be. Such as, I'm going to talk about Alan for just a minute. Yesterday, we had our third Tai Chi class here at the building. And Alan's had a great Tai Chi class going on Zoom for a long time. But wanting to do better about promoting our work here at the church and expanding a health ministry here. And so we had the health minute, we had a Tai Chi class over in the other building. And it was just great. We had a neighbor come and join us for Tai Chi, as well as the numbers he had on Zoom. We had another neighbor come in and look in on us. And it's already, I think, being a very successful outreach, a help to the community. And so that's Saturday mornings at 8:30. Alan is just doing a great job. He doesn't just do it with expertise, but he does it with a great spirit. And so you would be blessed by coming to that. A couple other things. Bill Opal, when I first came, he had noticed something online called GLOO, GLOO. And GLOO is it's a national organization, but they do targeted campaigns in certain areas online where people can, on these campaigns, the campaign might be about sadness or anxiety or other issues that people would be feeling. And you can send in a name, you can put your name in to have somebody pray with you and visit with you. And they're not really in the Los Angeles area, but you know, everything's online, anybody can get to it, you know. And so, I have had eight people so far contact me through what GLOO does is they take those prayer requests, sends those to a local minister who is also signed up in the organization. And I've visited with eight people and prayed with them. And then actually this afternoon, my wife and I are going to go see one of them that we've developed a closer relationship with. I was thankful for Bill Opal's suggestion and followed up, allow me to be a resource for that. This upcoming week, Charlie and Chris got us tied into the Relate Strong, which is a put on by the Boone Family Center there at Pepperdine. And we're going to take training for this Relate Strong material this coming weekend online. So that's also a very positive thing that's going on. We were talking to Kathy one day. Kathy said we'd like to have a more of a small group Bible study. And so I had a few meetings in the park. I might adjust that a little bit with times and stuff. But we been meeting at Garfield Park, having Bible study there. It was suggested, Jack had mentioned it, but also Bob Spare mentioned that Jack was willing to do it. So he spoke for you, Jack. So Bob may have done that before. I'm not sure, but that Jack would like to teach a class. And so we've been doing that on Wednesday nights, having class. I just hope you see what's happening right now. People are saying, these are my gifts. This is an area that I feel I have some expertise in, or I have interest in. They're coming and saying, I'd like to start something like this. And I'm saying, that's what I'm here for. Let's get stuff like that started. And so I'm very excited about all these ministries. And now I think the biggest thing two biggest things that we can do. Some of you say, I got ideas too. Well, I want you to hear we're open to those ideas. And you may say, I don't even know how to start it, but I've got an idea. I want to be a resource for person for you and help get those things started. And then also to say, it may not be your idea, but the people that we are working through would love your support, your presence. And so anytime that you're able to give that, and we'll talk about that a little later in the sermon, a little more, but anytime that we can work as a community is a display to the world of who we are as the Sierra Madre Church. And so hopefully some of those things that I have suggested, you may say, you know what, I'd like to help with that. Or if you have your own idea, I'd like to start something. Darren, could you help me? Yes, the answer is yes. We want to be a busy congregation, simply using what God has blessed us with to glorify him. Whenever I'm reading the Bible, getting to my sermon now, whenever I get, I'm reading the Bible and studying the Bible, one technique that I like to use to help me better get a sense of where the word is leading me. I don't want to just be one who comes in. I just want the word to say what I want it to say. I want the word to speak to me. And so one of the things I look for in the text is movement. Sometimes that movement is a growth that a person has. Sometimes the movement is in a downward direction, sadly. You can look at the book of Judges for a movement like that. Sometimes the movement is a growing out, and sometimes it's a moving in. But I like to look for the movements of Scripture and see what those movements tell me in my life. I'm going to talk about three specific chapters today and see, they all seem to focus on some very similar things, but they have interesting movements toward them. Genesis chapter 1, the story of creation, is one of those. It begins, I won't read the chapter, but it begins in very broad ways. We're just talking about light. And we start talking about the big things. We start talking about the creation of the planet, light and dark. We talk about the formation of land and seas, of just the food that grows. And then it starts to narrow in a little more on the things that inhabit those places, such as the sun, moon, and stars inhabit the light and the darkness. The birds and the sea creatures, they inhabit the skies and the seas. And then the land animals inhabit the land and eat the vegetation that has grown from day three. And then out of all those creation, that marvelous creation that really blows our imagination to see what God can do with just the words of his mouth, at the end of that, we see something very special created. Out of all those land animals that are made on the sixth day, God then says, I want to make something very special. Something, and I love the way Genesis 1 puts it, something that will bear my image. And so in the image of God, he created man and woman. And at the end of that wonderful creation, he saw that it was very good. There's kind of, like I said, a narrowing of focus in Genesis chapter 1, a movement of narrowing. I mean, there's all sorts of things that people have, cultures and nations, peoples all throughout the history of the world have said, you know, that captures the image of God. And you'll see them, they'll worship the sun. And wow, how it is awesome. They'll say that's God's image, and they will worship it. Some will worship the agricultural movements, the land, the food that's grown around the large rivers like the Nile and other places. They will worship fertility, worship the rivers that seem to provide. You'll have many cultures that use specific animals to use as idol images in order to represent who God is. And the wonderful story about Genesis 1 is that of all those marvelous things, spectacular things, beautiful things that God created with all their color, their majesty, their beauty, their health, out of all those things, he decides to put his image on us. We are, for lack of a better word, we are elected, chosen out of creation in order to bear the very image of God. And the rest of the story of the Bible, oh yeah, there's places where the stars still get brought in and the animals are brought in. But the rest of the story of Scripture is not about God's relationship with them. It's about God's relationship with us. We have narrowed his focus to his pride and joy, apple of his eye, the human beings. You can go to a place like Psalm 8 and see the psalmist just, I think, reflecting on the creation story, says, out of all the things you made, what are human beings that you are mindful of them? Compared to so many things, we just seem so small and so vulnerable. But you have chosen us to wear your image. So you see that narrowing of focus, that chosenness of human beings. That continues Psalm 148, which is a psalm that we have our song, Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah, from. Number 3 in our songbook, if I remember correctly. But Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. And again, there is a narrowing there. It seems to go back to that. It seems to go back to that creation account where it begins at the top. Praise the Lord from the heavens, in the heights above. Praise him, angels, heavenly hosts, sun and moon, shining stars, highest heavens, waters above the heavens. Let them all praise the name. They continue to come down in that Genesis 1 kind of focusing way. Praise the Lord from the earth, the sea creatures, lightning, hail, snow, clouds, stormy winds, mountains, hills, fruit trees, and cedars, wild animals and cattle, small creatures and flying birds. And then he gets to us. Kings of the earth and all nations, princes, rulers on earth, young men and maidens, old men and children. See, again, you see that focusing that happens. Psalm 148 goes a step further in that focusing than even Genesis 1 does, where it says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his saints of Israel, the people close to his heart. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so he's the psalmist here is reflecting on that biblical story. Out of all the great created things, human beings are at center. And out of all the nations of those human beings, he has his people at the center there. And so all the praise of everything that has been made, it culminates, it focuses in on the praise of God choosing his people, saving his people. From just these two passages, I want you to see, first of all, your exalted place, our exalted place. We are indeed very good to our God. He has made us. He's created us. And now he has selected us, chosen us. Oh, not that he doesn't love everything else that he has made, but he has paid particular attention to the human beings, and even more specifically to his people, that we might be the key. We might be the linchpin. We might be the very center of what God is trying to do in all of his creation. And that is, and you can read somewhere like Ephesians chapter 1 to see, his grand plan is to bring all of heaven and earth under Christ, to be reconciled. And at the heart of that is, and again, you can see in Ephesians 1, this wonderful language, at the heart of that great plan is the church. Oh, I want you to see the exalted place you have, not at the top, at the center, an exalted place at the center. You have experienced God in a unique way. He has revealed himself to you in a very unique way. As I've gotten to know people here in California, you'll ask them, what are some things that you like to do? And in this area, one of the big things is I like to hike, and even right now, it's a beautiful day. There may be more people on that mountain than there are here today. I'm not sure, but they are hitting the trails and they're headed up high. You know, there's something in them that is calling them to beauty, something in them that is calling them to hear the praise of creation. Most of them don't even know what that is, to be real honest. They don't even know what they're listening for. They don't know what is calling out to them that makes them want to climb up a mountain. They don't understand what it is that makes them want to experience wonder and beauty. But you and I know, don't we? We know it's that image inside of them, that something that is yearning to see God, to know God, to draw close to God, whether they know it or not. There's something inside of them calling out. But you and I know this. And, I love the mountains as well. I love the people of God too. And I love what creation says to me. I've gotten an opportunity to climb some mountains, just trail hiking, not, ropes and stuff. I haven't done that yet, but I've had some opportunities to be in some beautiful places. And at those places, yeah, I feel like I'm experiencing something of the divine, but I don't just get that because I'm in a beautiful place. I get that because I know Psalm 148. I know Genesis 1. I know the one who made all this. And I know who he gave it to. And there at the center, I feel an exalted place. I am a witness to what God has specially revealed to his people. Not that he's trying to keep it secret. Matter of fact, it's exactly the opposite of that. The God seems to choose the center so that everyone and everything might know. Remember, there's that selection process in Genesis chapter 1 where he comes and he puts his special image on Adam and Eve. He'll name them a little later, man and woman at this point, Ish and Haish. Anyway, that's the Hebrew, sorry. So he chooses them, and then he commands them, fill the earth and subdue it. He has not called them just to be his only, he's called them to be his messenger, the one to. The same thing happens with Abraham. Abraham is chosen to have a very special relationship with God. A special revelation is given to him and special promises made. And part of those promises are, I'll make you into a great nation. I'm going to give you land. And through your descendants, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. An exalted special place, not just to reap all the rewards, but to do the work, to get the word out, to display what you were chosen for. Now I'd like to go to what Lori read to us earlier, Revelation 5. And we've seen two passages so far that the movement is a narrowing, a focusing to show what's at the center of everything. And now watch this beautiful expansion It happens there in Revelation 5. I won't read the whole thing again, but in Revelation 5, we see the presentation of the Lamb of God. He looks as if he has been slaughtered, and he is placed on the same throne that God in chapter 4 sits on. And then at the center of that throne, then starts an expanding praise. It begins, first of all, with the elders, the 24 elders who sit before on their thrones before that big throne. They take off their crowns and lay it at the Lamb's at the foot of the throne of the Lamb. Those 24, 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles of the early church, they represent who we are, the people of God. The people of God have a center stage place at the very throne of God. We're reminded of that like Hebrews. That's why we get to pray with such boldness, because we have a high priest who now takes us with boldness to the very throne of God. Ephesians, again, Paul will say that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. I know we may look kind of small, we may look kind of vulnerable, as the churches that he was writing to, that John was writing to in Revelation felt. And he wants them to experience the exalted sense of who they are. No, you're not just small and vulnerable, you're at the center of the very throne of God are the elders of the people. And then as they announce their praise, it begins a song that begins to expand. Now you get those four weird creatures that come all the way from Isaiah and Ezekiel, those weird creatures that I don't want to explain right now, but they are the ones who are calling out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And then as they begin to sing, it expands further. Then the angels surrounding the throne start to sing. We're not done yet. The music's good, but we're not done yet. Then myriads upon myriads, or some of your verses may say 10,000 times 10,000 angels continue to sing. The song is expanding. And then it seems like heaven's really now too full to hold all of it, and it spills over into the rest of creation. And in Revelation 5, you can see it spill over into everything that we saw in Genesis chapter 1, Psalm 148. It begins where he says in verse 13, "I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and all on the sea and all that is in them singing, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Amen.'" And then he just reminds us at the very end of the chapter, what was at the center? At the center of all that was four living creatures who say, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. This expanding praise of God that is filling heaven first and then pouring out into all of creation, the heavens, the seas, the earth, and everything that's under the earth and under the sea, everything is now spilling over with praise. Who started that? Alfonso did. He's our song leader today. It started with the song leader who began to lead the people of God. And they joined together in song, but the praise of God could not be contained within just a few moments or a few people gathered in a little place in Sierra Madre, way off the beaten path, but it spills over. and the people of God leave the place and they spill over into all of creation. And they go into the marketplaces and the workplaces and it spills on over. And they go into their homes and into their neighborhoods and it continues to spill on over into the parks and onto the pickleball courts and up the mountains. And it continues to spill on over until all of creation recognizes what has been revealed by the people of God, that this is God's place and that his plan is that all creation in heaven and on earth will be brought together in reconciliation under Christ. I hope you see your exalted place, and I hope in that place you also see your wonderful responsibility. I've been reading a book that my son showed me from, he's going to Harding Graduate School online and had a textbook he wanted me to read. So I've been reading that and I love the language that's used there. That one of the part of the missional concept of the early church biblically was, yes, you had individuals that were sent out to do mission work. We've seen that in the book of Acts, where like Paul and Barnabas are sent out from the church in Antioch. They're special servants given a specific task to go. But our mission theology from the New Testament isn't just about specific people who go out. But it's also that we as a community, as we live our life as God has designed for us to live, that we are a community on display. They see us and they notice, or at least we hope they do, they notice something very different about us, something very special about us, the way we talk, the way we relate, the way we so naturally cross barriers of diversity, the way we care for one another. They notice this, and they are called by that revelation of something special. They're called in that longing for that to want to know it better. We are a community on display. As Peter describes that in 1 Peter, that being on display as foreigners and exiles. He's also the same one that makes a statement like, always be prepared to give an answer. Well, who's going to ask us anything? The ones who notice the community on display at the center of all creation, living a life in glory to God. So I hope that, again, you see your exalted place, but you also see your wonderful responsibility. That we as a community are responsible for doing what Alfonso's doing for us this morning, leading the praise of God in this entire creation, that we might be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, as Peter describes, a treasured possession, as God says about his people in Exodus 19, a treasured possession out of all the peoples of the earth, not so that we get hoarded, but that everyone might see and know and come. Well, we're going to have a song where we're all going to stand and sing, and hopefully we're thinking of that. We stand, we sing together, and we realize we're that community who's going to leave this place together. Yes, separate ways, but still together to display the wonderful grace of God. Let's stand and sing.